Welcome to this Sunday morning's message podcast from Kingdom Faith. Today's message is by Pastor Clive Urquhart.
Now, if you've got your Bibles, grab your Bible or your phone or whatever you look at the word on and just turn to Matthew chapter 28. We're going to look at some things this morning as to how we're going to go through the autumn, what God's saying, and then really get very practical over the next few weeks as to what that looks like. I'm going to use a little bit of a diagram that you might have seen before and you might be used to. How many of you are fussy when you see something like that on the screen? I am. So let's do that. Look at that. Blue Peter, as if I prepared one earlier. Look at that one. That's clean, isn't it? Or cleaner. Brilliant. So we want to look at some things this morning and just set the scene or the tone for the coming months. Now, Faith Camp was an amazing week, and God spoke and did a lot of things in our lives. And the overall kind of theme and heart that came across at Faith Camp was reformation. And we're going to be unpacking that over the autumn time as to what that really looks like in our lives and what that looks like as a church and how that's expressed through our lives and as a church. Together, but also out into our locality, but also beyond that as Kingdom Faith. Now, God has not called us just to be another church. God has not called us just to be another church on, you know, the list of churches that you can have in any town or city or country or whatever. God has given us a mandate. God has given us a remit as Kingdom Faith. Now, for many of us, we know that revival is right at the heart of that and always has been. And Kingdom Faith was really birthed out of a revival, a move of God that was taking place in Luton when Pastor Colin was the vicar there in the 70s. And a lot of the essence, the ingredients of what God was doing then very much shaped the kind of the seeds and the roots that Kingdom Faith are rooted and established in. And, you know, I don't know about you, but I don't just want to be another church where we just do stuff as a church. We just do Sundays, we do groups, we do, you know, a schedule, we do a program, we have stuff going on. You know, I don't know about you guys, but I don't just want to do church. I want us to be who God has called us to be as a church, that we're here to fulfill God's mandate and God's purpose for Kingdom Faith. Now, who is Kingdom Faith? Kingdom Faith is us lot sitting in this room. Kingdom Faith are others in other congregations in this area. Kingdom Faith are those that are part of the Kingdom Faith family in other parts of this nation and overseas in other nations. But right at the heart, the engine room, if we can put it that way, of Kingdom Faith here, we want to be who God has called us to be. And I want to use this kind of diagram and just share a few things this morning that help to remind us, but also help to challenge us, but also encourage us this morning to really stretch out this autumn beyond where we have been and into more of who God has called us to be, so that we see more of what God has mandated us to see as a people. Anybody with me this morning? There's some challenge this morning. There's encouragement. How many of you were here last week when Pastor Paul was speaking? Great word last week. Very simple, but on reaching the lost, making disciples, which is the heart of what God is wanting to do. Now, the word reformation is very obvious in terms of some of what it means. The word reformation is to reform. It's to reshape or reform something. But it's not just to reform something, end of story. It's to reform something that then produces an ongoing impact, but in a different way than it has been before. So when God wants to reform something, it's because whatever is going on currently isn't producing the fruit and the life of what God intends. So God needs to reform or reshape something so that the fruit that God wants to see happen actually then happens. So how many of you know that if we were seeing everything that God wanted to see in and through our lives individually and as a people, if we were seeing that, then God wouldn't need to talk about reformation. He wouldn't need to talk about reforming who we are or who the church is, not just our church, but the church in the nation. There's some great stuff going on around the nation, and God is reforming, reshaping the church in this nation. But we know there is we're still not seeing, by any stretch of the imagination, what God determines to see in our nation. Or do you think he's happy with what's going on? God is not happy in that sense with what he sees happening. He is, if we can put it this way, he is groaning, yearning for a lot more to be taking place than he is seeing through his church, his body on earth. And I believe God wants to stir us up this morning, but stir us up during this autumn time to stretch beyond where we have been. Now, the flesh does not like cost. The flesh does not like having to stretch beyond where you have been and break through maybe plateaus and where we've just got comfortable in the way we've been living. But your spirit rises up when the Holy Spirit speaks the word of God. When God speaks, your spirit, man, rises up on the inside of you, and your spirit man's going to say yes and amen to the things of God. But your flesh says, oh, that's going to cost something. Oh, I'm going to have to kind of change my lifestyle a bit. Oh, I'm going to have to change the way I do life every day. But your spirit is saying, yes, come on, let's respond. And the best way to respond to God is to have a fresh encounter with him. Because when you have a fresh encounter with God, something happens on the inside of you. And then you say, what God wants and the cost, well, it's a no-brainer. Because what's going on inside you says, God, I want to follow, I want to move with and pursue everything that you are and what you have for me and for us as a people. And the cost kind of becomes insignificant to that, because what's going on in the inside of you overtakes and rises up and is stronger than what the flesh says as too costly. And so God wants to speak right into our spirits, right into our lives today and this coming season, this autumn. And in terms of being a people of reformation, God's reforming our lives. He's reshaping us to be more like Jesus. So right at the heart of a reformed people is a people that want to be like Jesus, a people that love Jesus. But first and foremost, a people that want to be like him. Anybody want to be like Jesus? Now we know we are being made like him. One degree of glory after the next, day by day, is transforming our lives as we seek to plug into him, walk with him and have relationship with him. He's changing us. He works in our lives. But I believe God wants us to plug in at another level. You know, when you have electric plugs in this building around the walls, they're 13 amp sockets. They give a certain amount of power. But this sort of stuff has to be plugged into either a 32 amp supply or a 63 amp supply, which is a lot more than 13 that you plug your hairdryer into or you charge your phone with. And I believe God wants us to move from just being plugged into a 13 amp supply where we're happy with that trickle and that supply. And we're saying, no, God, I want to step more into what you have. And so I want to plug into a 32 amp supply or a 63 amp supply. I want to plug into a whole nother dynamic of relationship, of download, of release of who you are in my life. Is anybody with me this morning? Because we want to move together beyond where we have been into much more of what God has for us as a people. Just turn to the person next to me. I'm glad I'm here this morning. Brilliant. What pens have I got out here? I don't know. What did I do? I had a black one. There it is. Brilliant. Now, right at the heart of a people of reformation. If you can see that, I don't know how easy you can see back there on the screen. But there's a J for Jesus, all right? And my artwork is really cool, all right? So I'm not in Pastor Collins' league by any stretch of the imagination. It needs reforming. It does, doesn't it? Look at that. Audience participation. Whoever said that, I love you. Right. Brilliant. There's a J. It looks a bit messy, but anyway. But God loves to mess things up in our lives so that we become everything he wants us to. But right at the heart of a people of reformation are a people that love Jesus. a people that are passionate to know Jesus, a people that want to be like Jesus. And their reference point for how they live is Jesus. The reference point in their life is what Jesus says, what he teaches, what he commands, and what he speaks into our lives. So we're going to have an autumn time where we're going to plug into a 63 amp supply of Jesus. We want to unplug from 13 amps and say, well, that's been okay, but there's so much more that God wants to do in us and through us. So we're going to skip the 32 amp supply and go to the 63 amp. Is that all right? There is a 100 amp supply you can get, but let's plug into as much as we can with God, right? And so we want to make sure that we're plugged into the supply of God that he wants us to be plugged into. How do you do that? You give yourself. Your flesh says, don't do it because it's costly. Your spirit says, come on, give yourself, because what then begins to happen, what rises up on the inside of you as you begin to plug into God in a fresh way, what begins to rise up is a new hunger, a new desire. But that doesn't happen before you plug in a fresh way. You have to plug in first. Sometimes we say, God, give me a greater desire. Give me a greater, you know, and God says, I'm not just going to give it to you. Because that's not how God's kingdom works, the principle of his kingdom. As we draw near to him, he draws near to us. It's that way around. God, as I plug into you in a fresh way, as I seek to encounter you in a fresh way, as I seek to give myself to you in a fresh way during this autumn time, he is going to give more of himself, or a greater release of himself into our lives. That's the way it works. It's not that God just says, I'll give you more of me, and we go, oh yeah, that's sit on the deck chair of life. It's no, you plug into God and then you see a greater release of his life in you. When you plug into God, you know as well as I do, then challenge comes our way, because when you plug into God in a fresh way, the spotlight of who he is comes on your life in a fresh way, and it shows a few things up that maybe we've got used to, that God says, I want to clear the deck so that there's a greater freedom for me to move in and through your life individually and as a church. So right at the heart of a people of reformation is a people that like Jesus, want to be like Jesus because they love Jesus. A people who love his word, a people that love his presence, a people that love to please him, a people that love to want to be like him. That's the kind of people that God has called us to be. Now, we all love Jesus in this room, otherwise we wouldn't be here today. And it's not that we've got to try and love Jesus more. But as you give yourself, what you find happen is your spirit begins to rise. A greater hunger and desire begins to rise. There's always going to be opposition to that happening in our lives. Busy doing this, busy doing that, doing the other. Got to do this, got to give time for that. There's always going to be a challenge for your time. But if we give the first of our time to God, there's no law that says you have to get up early in the morning and all of that kind of stuff. But I tell you, as we give our time, our first to God, then everything else begins to come into line. You want to have everything else into line, because the first of what God is, as it's given to him, then things begin to happen. Matthew 28, verse 16, it says here, then the 11 disciples went to Galilee and to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him. I love that. Often we start with verse 18 about where Jesus says, all authority in heaven is given to me, therefore go and make disciples. But there's a couple of verses before that. They went to the place that Jesus told them to go. When we do what Jesus says, and when we go to the places he called us to go, then we're going to hear him speak and things are going to happen where he tells us to go. But when they arrive in that place, the first thing they do is worship. And it's from that moment where when they come to Jesus, the first thing they do is not what can you do for me and how can you bless me. The first thing when they came to that place with Jesus was they worshipped him. Jesus, you're worthy, you're mighty. Now, he was in his resurrection body there, and they worshipped him. That was the first thing that came from them. And I think of people that love Jesus, the first thing is, God, I love you. You're amazing. You're awesome. You're magnificent. What comes out of your life is, I want to worship you, glorify you, lift your name and your word. You're amazing. You're awesome. Why is worship so important? Because before you got saved, your life was centered around you. Everything was you in the middle. But when you get born again, when you give your life to Jesus, suddenly your whole life is centered around Jesus. And when I lead people to Jesus, one of the first things I get them to do is, right now, let's thank Jesus. Let's praise him. Let's exalt him. Because up to this point, your life has centered around you. But now it's going to center around Jesus. So let's worship him. Let's thank him. You might not have ever done that before, but we're going to start at this moment. He's forgiven you. He's given you himself. He's come into your life. Now let's worship him. Let's thank him. Let's praise him for who he is. Because you're going to do a lot of this for the rest of your life. Now you're born again. And they worshipped him. Then in that context, he then began to speak to them. And he began to define to them what this was going to look like. He says, okay, guys, and I love Paul's message last week when he titled it, The Last Thing Jesus Said. Great message. The last thing Jesus said, which is some of these verses. But then it's the first thing that we then respond in relation to the last thing Jesus said, which is the Great Commission. When Jesus said, all authority in heaven on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything that I've commanded you, and I'll be with you to the very end of the age. It's interesting, when they first encountered him, they worshipped him. What do you do when you worship? You surrender. You submit. You're coming under the one that you're worshipping. It's interesting that when they met him, they worshipped him, saying, Jesus, you're greater than we are. You're awesome. You're God. And it's in that context of being submitted, that context of surrender, where they're saying, Jesus, I want to be under your lordship. I want to be under your authority. That's why I'm worshiping you, because you're greater than I am. You're magnificent. You're to the point where I don't even know what to say. You're so indescribable, so beyond words. It's in that context, he then said, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore, in that place of surrender, in that place of worship, that place of adoration, that place where you're saying, God, I want to be under your lordship, in that place, he says, all authority, and then you can go in that authority and in my name to go and do and be who I've called you to be. And then he gives them the Great Commission, not the Great Omission, but the Great Commission, to go and make disciples. If you want more on that particular thing, listen to Paul's message last week if you haven't heard it. So right at the heart of a people of reformation is Jesus, a love for Jesus, want to be like Jesus, want to please Jesus, want to serve Jesus, a people who have submitted and surrendered to Jesus, under his authority, ready for his commands. And it's an obedient people that love Jesus, because Jesus said, if you love me, you'll obey my commands. And that's not a heavy thing, it's a releasing thing, you know, when love for Jesus and passion for Jesus is at the heart of your relationship with God, where it's not mechanical, it's not just something I have to do. I have to do this, I have to do that. When there's a passion to know Jesus, it's like, God, speak to me. Let me know what's on your heart. What do you want me to do? I'm available, whatever. And you know God's going to say things that are going to stretch you. You know God's going to say things that are going to require steps of faith. Is that right? Because that's what our faith is for, to step into things that we haven't seen, to step into things that we haven't known, to step into things that we're not living in right now. Because faith leads us forward into the purposes of God and into everything that God has for us. So when we have Jesus right at the center of our lives, there's a number of things that God then works in us and develops in us. There's three key things here we're going to look at, being a people of reformation, that enable us to grow spiritually, enable us to be strong spiritually, not just as individuals, but as a church. You know, when we get saved and we come into the body of Christ, we are individuals, but yet at the same time, we become part of a body. We're now interdependent on one another. your life, your faith, your behavior, your actions, your family, your marriage, your friendships, whatever context you're in, they all matter in the life of the church as to who we are as a people. Our lives are not isolated in and of themselves any longer. So how you're doing spiritually will impact the life of the body. How I'm doing spiritually will impact the life of the body. How we are doing spiritually will impact the life of who we are. Now, we know that, but I believe God wants us to really understand that in a fresh way. And there's three things that enable us to grow spiritually. One is the word, one is prayer, and one is worship, okay? Now, God has called us to be a people of the word, and, excuse me, and not just as individuals, but as a church. In these days, we need to be a people that hold fast to the truth. Hold fast to the word. So a people of reformation are a people of the word, okay? And a people of the word, they hold fast to the truth. They are people of the truth. Now, one of the things we're going to be doing over the next few weeks, our kind of theme, if you like, is going to be choose life over the next few weeks up to half term. And that's all going to be about words, the power of the word. The power of words in our lives, the power of other people's words, the power of the words in prayer, the power of tongues and what happens. So we do different things, different weeks, because God wants to embed more and more into our lives that we're a people of the word, a people of the truth, a people that, excuse me, are holding fast to the truth. And as you heard at Faith Camp and probably one or two other Sundays since then, the amount of stuff that's going around in the body of Christ that leads to deception, that takes people off from the word. You know, the devil's not an idiot. He knows that when he comes to deceive, he often puts truth in it because it sounds right. But then he puts a little twist on it at the end that makes you feel good. So he comes with the truth, like he did with Jesus when he tempted him out in the wilderness. He came and quoted scripture to him, didn't he? But then he put a little twist on the end of it. And that's how the enemy works, to deceive people and take people off track. He comes with some truth. He says things that, yeah, that sounds right. But then there's a little bit at the end. But the little bit at the end always appeals to your soul. Because it always wants to make you feel good. And if it feels good, well, it must be right then, because I feel really good about it. So I've heard the truth, but there's another little bit that makes me feel good. Oh, yeah, but it's soulish. And that's what then takes us 1 degree off, 2 degree off, and before we know where we are, we're off down the tram line somewhere and into deception. And so we want to be a people of the truth, a people who hold fast to the word of God. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. There's no other way to the Father except through me. And he said that in a context, speaking to some of the Pharisees, because they were challenging him. And he was saying, I am the bread of life. I am the way to God. I am. It was like a blasphemy kind of statement for him to say that in their context, as far as they were concerned. But he was basically making a point. There is no other way. I am the truth. I am the way. And so I believe God's going to do some kind of holding fast in our lives over these next few weeks as to how we speak, what we do and don't allow to come out of our mouths. We're going to be choosing life over these next few weeks because the people of Reformation are people of the word, the people who speak the word, who speak life and release life over our own lives, into our own personal situations and circumstances, into our workplace, into our communities, into our region, into our nation. We don't want to be like many other people that are negative about the nation, negative about stuff. We want to be a people that rise up in the middle of all of that stuff. We're speaking life. We're speaking truth. We're speaking the purposes of God, which are not popular and will become probably even more unpopular as things seem to be going as we go forward. We're not on a soapbox, remember, because it's got to come with love. But a people of conviction. Then we're a people of prayer. When Jesus went to the temple and he overthrew all the tables, you know this story, many of you. He was angry, but what did he say? He said, he didn't just do it because they were he was angry because he said, this is supposed to be a house of prayer. but you've made it a den of thieves or robbers or whatever. But he says, my Father's house is supposed to be a house of prayer for all nations. Now, God has called us as Kingdom Faith to be a house of prayer for all nations. Your flesh does not like that, hates it. I spent some time with a guy I told you about, the shop where I got my motorbike from. And I went out with him a few weeks ago and had a curry and just chatting with him. And he said to me, he said, why every time I start praying, do I start thinking about loads of other stuff? Things I need to do, things I've forgotten to do, problems or challenges. Like, you know, every time I sit down, because he's trying to help me really get going, right, with God. And he said, every time I start to pray, stuff goes on. I get a phone call from my ex-girlfriend or something happens right at that moment when I pray. He says, why? And I said, because the devil knows that prayer is powerful. Because prayer connects you with God. Prayer keeps you listening to Him. Keeps your life in order. Because you're in relationship, you're listening to God. Then we got into the whole thing about how to hear God. And I said, so the enemy doesn't want you to pray. He doesn't want you to connect with God. He said, why is it every time I seek to get more plugged into the church that I'm in and say, right, I'm going to actually go to that small group. I'm going to get involved in that situation. Every time I make a decision that tonight I'm going to go, something comes up, something happens. I said, the enemy or whatever doesn't want you to connect with the purpose of God for your life. And prayer is powerful. Prayer transforms our lives. Prayer transforms things around us. When we speak the word of God, when we speak in the name of Jesus, when we stand, if you like, feet on the ground, but our spirit man is, you know, up here somewhere. When we speak, there's a download of heaven on earth. There's a download of the purposes of God. When we pray, things happen. When we don't pray, it's a number of reasons. Either we just don't think anything's going to happen, or we don't think God's going to listen, or we just think, I don't want to, it's a waste of time, or it's too. I tell you, there's that moment of breakthrough where you know as well as I do that you can get up in the morning, you can say, I'm going to go and pray now. Sometimes there's that moment where you just make that decision. You don't necessarily feel like it. Everything else going on around you, so I need to concentrate and sort that out and sort this out. And, you know, but when you begin to pray and say, right, God, here I am, I'm shutting everything else out. You are awesome. You are mighty. You are incredible. I thank you, Jesus, for your heart for me. I praise your name. And you begin just to engage your heart and focus. And then you think, oh, I could do it a cup of tea. How many of you get that? Sounds stupid, doesn't it? But you start and think, oh, actually, before I really get going, I'll just go and get a cup of tea so I've got something to drink while I'm praying. You get that one, yeah? Or as soon as you start praying, you just think, oh, hang on a minute. No, I just quickly need to go and do that. Stuff all that lot. You just need to, God, I'm going to gear into you for the next few minutes to make sure I get past that moment, that inertia point of getting this train going so there's some momentum just beginning to go. And then you don't want a cup of tea. You don't want to do those other things because something great is going on in the inside of you. Now, the good thing is when you get momentum going in your life, then those things don't seem to affect you in the same way. So God wants to get some momentum going in our lives. But being a house of prayer for all nations, one of the things for me I'm going to begin to do, I'm going to come here a couple of mornings a week, just early, 6 o'clock, Tuesday and Thursday morning, just to pray. Something God's been speaking to me about. And to pray for the church, to come here at 6 o'clock. Now, if anybody wants to come and pray at 6 o'clock, you're welcome. Tuesdays and Thursdays here in the mornings. But it's not going to be just, I'm going to run a prayer meeting for people to come to. For me, I know God said, I want you to come and I want to meet with you and I want you to meet with me. But I want you to pray and give some time praying, firstly to encounter me, but also and then praying to some stuff. And if you want to come and join me to encounter God and whatever God wants to do, then Tuesdays and Thursday mornings at 6 a.m. in here for an hour or so, if you want to join me. But one of the things that God's been speaking to me about is us being a house of prayer for all nations, that we've got to up the prayer. Now, if you up the prayer, what does that mean? That means maybe the amount and the times, there's going to be more opportunities to pray. There's a lot of prayer that does go on during the week. There's quite a number of small groups that are prayer groups, and there's other groups that meet to pray and everything. But I believe God wants to increase the prayer. So that might mean we add some other things in during the autumn as we go that are not in church highlights, okay? Your church thingy bob job, what do you call it? Church life, that's what it's called, isn't it? It might not be in there, but we might add it. If it's not in there, it doesn't matter. We can add stuff. We don't live by church life book. But, you know, so there might be some stuff that we add in there because of what God's doing and what he's saying. And as we give ourselves, you know what it's like? We have 21 days of fasting. Stuff happens in our lives, doesn't it? Why? Just because we give ourselves more. You give yourself, you get back. It's a spiritual principle. What you sow, you reap. Because we could live at 13 amps, but I believe God wants us to live at 63. A whole nother, you know, it's a different socket. It's a much bigger thing. You can put a lot more power down it. And we know the truth that we have everything that God's ever going to give us because of he didn't hold anything back when we got saved. The question is, but do we live in everything that he has for us? So we don't want to live a 13 amp supply. We want to live in a 63 amp supply. That's what I'm going for. Is that all right? So, but in order for God to download that, I've got to be where God wants me to be, or each of us, so that God can release that dynamic of life and power through our lives, so that we live in that way. Not just moments of 63 amp supply in a meeting where God moves powerfully and it's like, wow, and then we walk out the door and go back to 13 amps. God wants us to live at 63 amps, if we can put it that way, in our lives. So that's the kind of connection and dynamic. And so as we press into God, I know some of us in the room, our flesh is going, oh, here we go, you know. But actually your flesh needs to go, here we go, because we need to not live at that level. Because when our flesh says that, it's 13 amp supply stuff. And we want to live at 63, so the flesh doesn't have the same room to go, no, don't do it. But your 63 amp supply spirit is going, shut up, flesh, I'm going for it anyway, because I know it's going to be a lot better to live in that way than a 13 amp supply lifestyle. The other one, so we've got word, prayer, and worship. And so I don't know, we're probably going to chuck in a few nights during the autumn for worship, just some worship nights. Random, here and there. I don't know. But it's like, let's chuck them in. Because we want to encounter God in a fresh way. We want to pray and get in there with God in a fresh way. There's some things that got to happen in us in division as a church, where there's a fresh release of the Holy Spirit for the day that we're in, the time that we're in. Because we can do lots of stuff at 13 amp supply and see a 13 amp supply output. You can't run this stuff on 13 amps. You can run it on, you have to have more power to run it on. And I believe what God is saying to us is to live in the way he's calling us to this autumn. We can't see it on a 13 amp supply, because a 13 amp supply says, God, I'm going to stay on the same power supply that I'm at, but expect you to do more. And God says, I can't. I don't know if God says I can't, or that doesn't allow me to do more, because 13 amp supply restricts me doing 63 amp supply stuff. So worship, encountering God, meeting with God. We need to press into God this autumn. Is that okay? Yeah. You up for that? Yeah. Your flesh's going to say, oh no. But your spirit's going, come on, you know. And that might mean we rock up and there's no music. We just come with the Holy Spirit. And we say, come on, let's get in there with God. And what begins to rise up in us comes from here, not from up here. It might have somebody up here with an acoustic strumming away sometimes. It might not have a whole band. But we don't want to be limited by what's up here. What we want is a release of what's going on in here, from here in our lives. So worship, prayer, the word, or whichever way around those letters go. That's the spiritual DNA, the backbone of who we are as a people, as Christians, as Kingdom Faith. This undergirds everything. So in terms of what God wants to see grow in the life of the church or in our witness here, a lot of that is dependent on the dynamic of life that's going on there. And the more we plug in that way, the greater release of God we see through our lives. And it's like, wow, I haven't really done anything different, but it just seems to be God's released in a greater way. Do you remember when we did 40 days of prayer and fasting a few years ago? And most of what we were doing during the week only had 40, 50 people. And for no reason whatsoever, I think it was about the fifth week we were doing the 40 days of prayer and fasting. There was one particular week where suddenly loads more people started turning up to both Little Builders and Friday Night Club. And there was no reason. It's not like we weren't advertising more. That it wasn't, you know, that we'd suddenly put all the stuff in. It wasn't any of that. There was one particular week where suddenly the numbers started going up, and they started, and it was during that 40 days of prayer and fasting where it's like God saying, if you press into me, there'll be a greater release of who I am. So reformation starts with God reforming some things in you and I, in us as people. And that begins with the word, it begins with prayer, it begins as we worship and encounter God. But then also, if we can use this word, which lots of people don't use these days, but the word fellowship. You see, if we press into God in that way, it changes the dynamic of relationships that we have together. The second half of this autumn, after half term, we're going to be looking at choose love. So the first half is choose life. How do we be true disciples? So we want to be people of the word who hold fast to the word, who speak the word, declare the word, pray the word. We live the word, we believe the word, we think the word, we eat the word, we chew the word, we love the word. So we want to be getting into more of the word this autumn time, okay? And so that what comes out of our mouth is life. It builds, it encourages, it strengthens, it breaks through. There's healing, there's deliverance, there's power in the word and the words that come from our lives when we're rooted in the word. The flow of life that rises up and what comes out, 63 amp supply. So we want to choose life up to half term. Then after half term, choose love. What does that look like in reality? We're going to look at how do we have strong, healthy relationships and different dynamics in all of that. Because right at the heart, being a people of reformation, is what people get saved into, they become. What people get added into, they become. People don't get added into just what we say. They get added into who we are. The dynamic of life that we live is what other people begin to live. See, Jesus said, come follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. Now, he knew that was going to need the word to teach and define and transform them by the renewing of their minds and all that kind of stuff. But what impacted them with his words was they saw that he lived what he spoke with words. And so the words and actions work together. And so if we're going to be those true disciples, then our actions and our words have got to go together. When somebody gets saved, they catch more of how you live than what you say. See, for us, I grew up with this with my parents, and Jane and I have done this as a lifestyle, really, in terms of having people living with us, apart from the first year when we got married. Since then, we've always had people living with us beyond our own immediate family. It's kind of extended households and that. And yes, we sit down and we chat to people and that live with us. Some live with us because they need some discipleship, or many come because of that, and that's why we've had people live with us. But the thing that impacts their life is just living with us. They live in a certain environment. They pick things up because it's in, not just in the air, but it's in the fibre of who we are. There's conversations in that context that explain some of that and describe that and all of that. But people, when they live with you, they become like you. When people plug into your life, they become like you are. There's one of the young couples in the church, they're part of the Crawley congregation. Somebody said to me the other day, they're part of the leadership team over there, and somebody said to me, I was over there, not me, that person that spoke to me was over there a few weeks ago, I think it was. And when they were there, one of the guys there, before the meeting started, just said some stuff, making things were organised and this, that and the other, and just what was going on. And they said, wow, that's exactly how Clive would be. And even the, you know, in the way that he sorted that out or spoke to those people or made sure everything was ready or whatever it was, they were, that's exactly how Clive would be and how he would do something or other, right? Now, it's interesting that that particular person has never lived with us, but I know that that guy and his wife, their hearts are totally, totally plugged in to me and Jane. And he was at the move years ago at Faith Camp for quite a few years when Jane and I were leading that. And he was always down the front, always in there with what was going on. And often he would come up and chat and talk, and he was really, and we had communication outside of Faith Camp, emailing and whatnot. And he was always like, you know, wanting to grow in God, wanting to learn. He was open. But one thing there's always been is a heart connection. And so he's part of the Crawley congregation, part of the leadership team over there. But it's like, because of that heart connection, somebody that went on to say, it's like he's picked up how you are. And he's not a copy of me. He's his own person, his own man. But because of that heart relationship, so you don't even have to live with somebody or have somebody in your house, your home, for them to, it's all to do with heart connection. So translate that into your relationship with God. When there's a heart connection, what begins to happen? Jesus, I want to be like you. Jesus, I want to sound like you. I want to be like you. I remember James Maloney saying to me, the first time he ever came here, some of you don't know James Maloney, came in, I think 2004, something like that, 10, 11 years ago. And we had a revival week and he was speaking at that. And the first time he got up to preach, he was preaching and then he started to minister to people, and he moves very strongly in the prophetic, and he has lots of kind of, he sees what's going on in people's bodies when they're not well, and he describes what God is doing as God is healing them. It's all that kind of stuff. It's powerful. But his style is really laid back. I mean, it's like, it's quite, say, light-hearted, but it's very relaxing. But it gets people to relax to enable them to receive. And as I was sitting there, I thought, wow. I was just sitting there watching some of this stuff going on and thought, I bet that's how Jesus was. There was no hype. Wasn't winding anything up. It was relaxed, but it was powerful. And I was sitting there thinking, wow, that is the closest I've ever seen what I think Jesus must have been like when he ministered to people. Because, you know, when you watch some of these programs about Jesus, you know, where they reenact it all, and he's walking along the road, a blind guy comes up and, you know, he says, I want to see. He just didn't suddenly turn it into a meeting, did he? What do you want me to do for you? Which is a bit obvious, Jesus, he's blind, you know, but what do you want me to do for you? I want to see. And sometimes you just said, be healed or go or whatever. That's it. They saw it was done. He carried on down the road to the next thing. I'm like, hang on a minute, that is so down to earth, so normal. We spiritualize so much stuff, don't we? Yet, very, very normal, the power of God. Why? He had a 63-amp supply. He didn't have to try and ramp this 13-amp thing up into something more than it was. He was just plugged into the power source. And I said to James Maloney, I said to him while he was here that week, I said, just... can I ask you, you know, when you do it, I asked him some questions about what he does and why he does what he does. And I said to him, he said, before I get up to minister, he said, I always pray and say, Jesus, I want to minister, like speak, preach, minister in exactly the way that you would if you were here. And I said, wow, that's interesting. That's what I was thinking sitting there watching you the other night. That and since you've been here, thinking, I reckon Jesus was like a lot like that. And he says, oh, wow, that blesses me. He said, because that's what I pray. Jesus, I don't want to minister in the way that I want to minister in the way that you would if you were here. ministering to people. And I think for us, maybe a cry that can be in our hearts and a prayer that we respond to and pursue over the autumn time is, Jesus, I want to live in the way that you would if you were here. I want to minister to people, whatever that might look like in your life. Love people. Do whatever. In the same way as if you were here. And let God shape us and form us into who he wants us to be during this autumn time. We've run out of time this morning, but this, if we can just call this outreach or evangelism over here, and if we just draw a circle around there, it's a weird circle, but there's just roughly a circle anyway. That's a disciple of Jesus. Somebody who's, Jesus is right at the heart of their life. They're growing in the things of God. They're growing in relationship in the body, but also growing in their witness here. And if you want to put it this way, we could say this is the obedient Christian in action. That's the obedient Christian living out the Christian life. Or we could translate that and say, this is an obedient church in action, a church that has Jesus right at the center, who's growing in the things of God, growing in their pursuit of God, their hunger and passion to know Jesus, growing in love for one another, wanting to outdo each other in love. That's pretty awesome, isn't it? Wanting to outdo each other in love. But also, as we heard last week from Pastor Paul, reaching out to those that don't know Jesus to make disciples, because a disciple is someone who is making disciples. That is a disciple of Jesus. That's why it's in a wheel, because a wheel's got to go somewhere. It's got to have some momentum in its life so that it's going somewhere. It's going in a direction. Let's all stand together, shall we? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We got communion this morning. If we could just have one of the guys up, Chad. Thanks, mate. Let's just close our eyes this morning and just make ourselves available for what God wants to do over the next few months. We're not chasing a dream. We're not just chasing a dream here. We're living for the purposes of God. We live in the now. We don't live in tomorrow. We live in the now. But tomorrow is determined by how we live today in the now. I believe as we just set our faces, set our lives during this autumn time to pursue God, to get after Him in a fresh way. To know Him more intimately, to hear from Him more specifically, to respond to Him more willingly. That obedience that comes from faith, as Paul speaks about. Your flesh says, ah, here we go again. Your spirit says, come on. As we stand in the presence of God this morning, just bring your life before Him. God is passionate for you and I, jealous for us to know Him, walk with Him intimately. Also, His heart yearns for family and friends that don't know Him to be born again, people at work and those that are lost. His heart yearns for them to know him. And as we just set ourselves to seek him in a fresh way during this autumn time, his heart will be downloaded in a greater and greater way into ours. And that parable where Jesus talked about the wealthy guy who put on a banquet and his friends didn't come and he said, go to the highways and byways. Talks about in there the kind of love that God has that compels us to go. It's not that we have to do it on our own strength, but it's something that compels us, this love, his heart. And freely we have received, freely we can give. Just as we're before the Lord, I just want to read something out of John 6. Verse 27, Jesus is speaking about him being the bread of life. And the people were following him because he fed them, the 5,000. He said, do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. On him, God the Father has placed his seal of approval. Verse 29 says, the work of God is to believe in the one that he has sent. Verse 39 says, and this is the will of him who sent me, that I shall lose none of all that he has given me, but raise them up at the last day. God wants us to go after food, eat food that has eternal consequences, not go after temporal food, the temporal things of life to try and satisfy. But let's give ourselves to the eternal things of God that produce fruit that's going to last. And he says that as we go after those things, as we seek to see eternal things happen on earth in people's lives, he says, I will give them to you. So God's going to produce fruit in our lives during this autumn time as we give ourselves to him and his eternal purposes. Then it says he's going to do stuff in and through us. We're not going to have to try and do it in our own strength. But then he says, I'm not going to lose any. And I believe that's what God is saying over us. As we see things happen in other people's lives that we're reaching out to as part of this autumn, that we don't lose none that he has given us. And as we receive communion this morning, as we eat and drink of what represents Jesus' body and his blood, let's eat and drink a seal of who he is in our lives. But also this morning, we're saying, Jesus, in the same way that you laid your life down for me, I want to lay my life down for you. I want to choose a Jesus life this autumn. And maybe just invite him to work in you, to do whatever he needs to do in you, both challenging and encouraging, whatever he needs to do, whatever he knows you need to hear, to rise up in faith, to overcome, to break through, to see things happen, as well as maybe things we need to hear where we need to be transformed by the renewing of our mind, or challenges in our lives, or whatever it might be. Let's just respond to him this morning. Jesus, I want to live a Jesus life. You right at the center, right at the heart this autumn. If we could have the servers up. On the last night when Jesus was with the disciples, he took the bread and he broke it. And he said, this is my body which is given for you. Take and eat of me. And then he took the cup and he said, this is the blood, my blood of the new covenant, a blood which is shed for you and for many, for the forgiveness of sins. Every time you drink this, remember me. They might not have understood at that moment what Jesus was saying and doing, but they sure did once they saw him on the cross. The realization. And we want to be people that eat and drink of him. He is the bread of life. We want to eat of the word. We want to drink of him in our lives. We want to be full of him because there's lots of other things that want to fill you. Lots of opinions and philosophies and the things of life out there, people's lifestyles and everything else. People want to fill us with their thing, but God wants us to be full of him and his thing. So let's, as we share communion this morning, if you want to pass it around, just surrender yourself afresh. Say, Jesus, I want to live a Jesus life this autumn. I thank you as I seek to get a hold of you in a fresh way, you'd get a hold of me. I thank you that during this autumn time, a greater hunger for the word is going to grow. To speak life, to choose life. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for a fresh encounter with you. Thank you for a greater dynamic of power in my life as I plug into this 63-amp supply or this example that we're given. But I want to plug into you on another dimension, another dynamic this autumn. So maybe while you're receiving communion, just say, Father, I choose to unplug from 13-amp living. And I choose to plug in to that 63-amp supply. Because it starts with making a decision first. So you have to plug the 63-amp supply into that source before the power can be switched on. So this morning it's like unplugging from one, saying, God, I choose this morning to plug in a completely different dynamic of who you are. And ask you begin to download your word, your spirit in a fresh way into my life in these coming weeks and months. I thank you in that download, you're going to speak on Sundays. You're going to speak in my own time with you. You're going to speak in the small group I'm in. You're going to speak in different contexts. I thank you, Father, you speak and release your word and your life into me in a fresh way, a greater release of who you are. But I thank you, it's going to be a 63-amp supply release from my life. It's not just going to be a 13-amp release to others. It's going to be a 63-amp release into other people's lives. Thank you, Jesus. So it won't be 63 coming in and 13 going out. What comes in is going to go out and be released. Thank you, Jesus. 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 Father, I thank you for a greater release of who you are amongst us in these coming days. As we set our faces to know you in a deeper, more intimate way, I thank you, you're going to shine your light on stuff. Where we've been living 13-amp, you're going to show us how to live 63-amp. Father, we thank you. We praise your name. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit. Just lift your voice a little bit and just begin to go beyond sort of just whispering as you pray, but just lift your voice and begin to speak out more boldly, more confidently towards him right now. Just invite him, Father, take hold of me afresh this autumn. Take hold of my life, every part of me. Transform me by the renewing of my mind. I thank you, you have given me a new heart, but where any place where I've let that been contaminated or affected, I ask you that you would just work in me during this autumn time. Thank you for clean hands and a pure heart. Thank you for a fresh fear of the Lord. Father, I want that fresh reverence of who you are, that fear of the Lord in my life in a fresh way that I know leads to a greater life of obedience, not because I'm under something, but because I'm released by you to live in that way. I thank you for that reverence, that fear of you that says, I want to please God. I want to please Him. I want to do the things that I know please Him. I thank you for a greater dynamic of faith in my life during this autumn, a greater release of your love for people, whether saved or unsaved. I thank you, Father, for a greater release of your Spirit in my life, a fresh release of your Spirit. Father, I thank you. You've called me to be part of a people of reformation. So I thank you that you reform me, reshape me, whatever you need to do on the potter's wheel. I thank you for a fresh release of your Spirit that waters the clay of who I am so that it's not brittle, but it's malleable and shapeable in your hands. I thank you, Father, you shape me. Do whatever you want to do in me during this autumn time so that I'm more like you, I live like you, I sound like you, I live and move and have my being in the same way that you are. Let me be like Christ on earth in the way as if you were here, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Greater hunger, greater desire in us as a body. Greater release of who you are as we come whenever we meet together on a Sunday in a small group setting or to pray together. Whatever setting is, Father, I thank you as we come with faith already. As we come with that passion to know you already, as we come ready, Father, there's a greater release, not because somebody said something or played something, but become we come ready to release something in our lives. And therefore, there's a greater release of you. I thank you. You don't wait for the meeting to start. You don't wait for somebody to preach. You don't wait for a musician to strike up a chord or whatever. I thank you. You've already started to work in us, and therefore, there's a release from us as the people, the body. I thank you for that spontaneity as a body, that we're not waiting for somebody else to trigger something in us, but you've already triggered your life in us in a fresh way, and we can't wait to get together to pray, to worship, to respond to, in whatever setting that is, to release things into each other's lives and to those around us, because we're just so used to, I want to be a releaser, a trigger of the life of God. I thank you, Father. You're no respecter of persons. You don't mind who we are in the room. If you say, I'm available, you work in our lives and you move powerfully. I thank you, Father, every person in this room that is available to you, you say, right, come on, come with me this autumn. We're going to move in fresh ways. We're going to see new things happen. Father, I thank you. The faith says, I'm not waiting to see it before I act, but faith says, I'm right at the front end of being an initiator because you're at work in me. And I thank you for that dynamic of faith in our life as a church. We praise your name. We thank you, Jesus. You're worthy. You're mighty. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.